All right, good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. That's good. Blessing to hear Brother Martin preach tonight. I always wanted to hear him preach, and I'm glad we got to tonight. It's a blessing. And the music, thank the Lord for good music, don't you?
Amen.
In this day and age, I'll tell you, I like that banjo. Amen. Praise God. Myself, by the way, you shouldn't say hillbilly or redneck. I'm officially an Appalachian American, amen? And I'm rather proud of that, amen? Rather proud of that. Yeah, praise the Lord. Said, how'd they get that name? The Scotch-Irish people settled our country. One of them was running from an Indian. He got up in an apple tree. He pulled an apple off, told that Indian, said, if you don't get away from me, I'm going to throw an apple at you. And that's how we got the name Appalachia right there. So. How many, did you know that, huh? Give you some history there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fellow over home, he fell in love with a socialite girl and she began to carry him, you know, to all these things. Took him to a ballet. He was watching that ballet, and he reached over to her and said, wonder why they just don't hire taller girls instead of making them stand up on their toes like that. She took him to a modern art museum. Boy, he fussed and quarreled all the way through there. He said, this is stupid. This is the dumbest looking stuff. You call that art, and I look at that. That's not. Finally, he said, he came to a place, and he looked. He took a go. He said, I can't take any more. Now, look at that. Buck-toothed, cross-eyed, pencil-necked. What do you call that? She said, you call that a mirror. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 21. You know, in Grundy, Virginia, there is the Appalachian School of Law. How many knew that? I ain't lying this time, amen? Appalachian School of Law. Heard about a boy graduated over there, had his first case as a capital murder case, and he went in to see his client, and he said, I got good news and bad news. He said, they found your blood at the scene, and they did DNA testing, and it's a match. It doesn't look good. He said, well, what's the good news? He said, your cholesterol's down to 122. That's good news. All right. 2 Samuel 21, stand with me, please. We'll begin reading in verse 1. I'm honored to be here. Thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to preach the Word of God, and I appreciate your preacher and all you men of God and missionaries and everybody serving the Lord. Praise God. I'm so thankful just to be one of the sheep, one of the lambs. Aren't you tonight?
Amen.
It's a blessing, and we appreciate this tonight. Beginning in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 21, I want to preach on an obscure woman in the Bible. I don't like to brag on myself. I did get one sermon in the Sword of the Lord one time, and it was this one. And the Sword of the Lord gave me, they gave this title. I didn't have this title, but I thought that's pretty good. The Heroine of a Hillside Hanging. I said, man, that's good. I wish I'd thought of that. I don't know who thought of it, but anyhow, I want to preach tonight on Rizpa, beginning in verse 1. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? Wherewith shall I make the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? The Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver or gold of Saul nor of his house, neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what you shall say, that will I do for you. They answered the king, the man that consumed us, and devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gilboth of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoai and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai the Methanite. And he delivered them unto the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. They fell all 7 together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah the daughter of Ai took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest unto the water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan and his son from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the streets of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistine had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul, the bones of Jonathan's son, and gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish his father. And they performed all the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this good day. I've enjoyed the meeting, and this morning service was a blessing, and tonight's been a blessing, and last night was. And God, I just pray for your help. Oh God, I pray, Lord, you might fill me with your spirit and help us, Lord, to be that instrument in your hand and work in our hearts in these days. And oh God, we're in a battle, Lord, and we're in a war, and it won't end until you come, until you're through with us. I pray we'll be faithful in the battle for God. Move upon every heart and every life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you can be seated. I appreciate that tonight. We're looking at this unusual woman, Rizpah. In the way of introduction, let me say that we find Israel in a famine in this scripture, a 3-year famine during the days of David. The reason for the famine was Saul had broken God's covenant with the Gibeonites. Now, if you go back to Judges 9 and study the Gibeonites, it's a wonderful study in itself. I believe the Gibeonites picture the New Testament church. They were Gentiles who came to Joshua. And of course, Joshua is the Old Testament name Jesus. We know that. And they came to him while others were fighting him. I'm glad there was a day, praise God, that I said I can't fight him anymore. I believe I'll join him. Amen. And I'm glad, thank God, he received me when I did. Amen. Now you notice how they came. They came in rags. Neighbor, listen, we don't have anything to give to God. They came with bread that was bad, and their wine was bad, and their shoes were worn out. And they came, my friend, and they thought they were from a long ways off. And anyhow, Joshua entered into a covenant with them, and later he would come to their defense. And this is when the sun stands still, not the moon shines still, but the sun stood still, amen. But anyhow, the Gibeonites now, when they found out what had happened to them, they made them the hewers of wood and the drawers of water. In other words, they became servants to Israel, but they were given a place in the land. I'm glad that we have come to Jesus, and he lets us serve him, and he lets us be servants. I'd rather serve the Lord than the devil any day, my friend. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, Saul We'll go in and we don't know what he does. We just know that the Bible said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Saul had gone in and he had violated this covenant. And so God now is dealing with something. After Saul is dead, David's on the throne. And it takes a 3-year drought for them to stop and say, why are we in this mess we're in? When they did, they found out it was because of the Gibeonites. So you have the reason for the drought, but what's the remedy for the famine? The remedy was that 7 sons of Saul would be delivered and they would be hung at one time. But we come then to the remarkable deeds of Rizpah that I'd like to preach on tonight. The spotlight of the Word of God now will shine upon this most obscure and unusual character that we could read about in the Bible. The Bible, we first are introduced to Rizpah in 2 Samuel chapter 3. This is the story of Abner. And let me say about Rizpah. Rizpah's name meant a hot coal. And I think that might even have been a nickname. It might have been a derogatory name towards her in the kind of woman that she was. We find that she was a concubine of Saul. I heard about a preacher that preached his first sermon. And boy, he had a sermon on Solomon. He said, I've got 3 points. He said, number one, Solomon was the greatest builder that ever lived. He told about everything Solomon built. And he said, number two, he's the greatest soldier that ever lived. He told about all his chariots. And then he said, number three, he's the greatest farmer that ever lived. He had 300 combines. And he had calculated how many thousand acres he could combine a day with all them 300 combines. Amen. And I'm just glad I wasn't there for that. Praise God. But she's not a combine, she's a concubine, which I don't know any other way of putting this, was practical to say she was a sexual slave. That's basically what they were. She was a concubine of Saul. She was a lover of Abner, and because of this relationship that Abner had with her, this is what brought a division between him and Ish-bosheth, you know, the son of Saul. They tried to put in as king. And so Abner, he confronts Abner about Rizpah. And so he'll turn his allegiance to David if you study about Abner. Let me say that she also was the mother of 2 children. And we have their names. Now, it's interesting. Armoni means belonging to a palace. And Mephibosheth's name meant destroying shame. And I believe here's a woman that wanted to try to regain something in her life through her children. I like the names that she named her children. But there are 7 sons that are hung. And the Bible tells us that 5 of them were from Michael. I never saw this till today. I've just been meditating on this message to preach on it. But I never thought about this until today. I wonder why Michael doesn't do what Rizpah did. You want to know why? She is bitter. Better watch bitterness, friend. Amen. I'll tell you, it'll destroy you. Amen. Bitterness will leave you out of the battle every time. Bitterness will take you out, and you will not be in the battle for God when you get bitter. Boy, the devil's got a lot of people bitter today. Amen. He really does. Now, we find at this point now that Rizpah will, the Word of God will spotlight this woman, and I want to preach the message now. Number one, write this down. Let's consider her mandate. What is her mission or her mandate that she is to do upon this hill? The Bible says she went to that hill. I guess as some people would watch her, and she took her bedroll and her staff and some water and some bread and things to eat and started up that hill. Somebody might have said to her, where are you going? What are you going to do? Well, you see, those boys up there, 2 of them are mine. Now, I don't have anything in this world but them. And they've hung them. And you know why they got hung? Because of what their father did, not because of what they did. Listen, friend, we were born in sin because of what Adam did. We pay a price because of what he did. And she said, I am going to see to it that the vultures don't sit on them and eat their flesh. I'm going to see to it that the creatures of the night don't climb up on them and eat on their flesh. I'm going to see that doesn't happen. Nobody else is going to do it, but I'm going to do it. Let me say, the nature of the defilement is, it's a sure thing. Now, it's just as sure, she knew, just as sure as those boys would be hung and their bodies would begin to decay, that would summon the vultures and also the carrion-eating creatures. Well, we'll deal with them just in a minute. She knew that would attract them. She knew that would happen. There's no question about it. Now, I want you to get this message tonight because I want us to see something, friend, that all of us that are saved and know God, there are some vultures and there are some creatures of the night, and I wanted you to know something. It is inevitable. There's no way around it. They are going to come. They are going to try to desecrate and defile us. They are going to try to destroy our children. They are going to try to tear up our church. They are going to try to wreck us and ruin us. As sure as my name's what it is, friend, they're coming. It's the nature of it.
Amen.
You know what? There's three areas of conflict all of us have, at least three areas. Our personal life, our personal holiness, our home life, and then our church. Huh? What was her mandate? I'm not going to sit by. I mean, when we have a loved one die, look at the care. My dad's been gone now, I think, 3 years, moms tell me. My dad was a praying man. He loved God. He's a retired Methodist preacher, but he loved God, loved souls, a soul winner. Daddy, toward the last, he couldn't come to church. He wouldn't have come to church, but he'd look at his watch, Mom, and say, he'd say, I'm going to go upstairs and pray for my boy while he's preaching.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate it, Dad, like
Amen.
That, don't you?
Amen.
When he died, we wanted his body properly taken care of and handled properly and to be honored.
Amen.
Didn't want somebody to be messing with his body.
Amen.
It's my daddy.
Right.
I want somebody discrediting, dishonoring that body. No, sir. We're going to give him a burial. We want him taken care of. Listen, Rizma said, I'm not going to let that I love be destroyed.
Amen.
Be desecrated. The second thing we want to look at is the materials. Not only her mandate, but her materials. What did she use? Now, the Bible tells us, I want you to notice in verse number 10, the Bible said, in Rizpah, the daughter of Ai took sackcloth and spread it for her upon a rock. She went up there and laid out her bedroll, spread it out, made her a camp, and said, I'm here to stay. Reason why we're losing these great battles today, folks, is we're not committed to stay. Well, listen, it's just, well, everybody today, I get so sick of it. All these guys, how many people do you hear? I'm just tired of fighting. I'm just tired of fighting.
Yeah.
I've heard that till I want to say over in the mountains over home that I want to vomit.
Amen.
I'm just tired of fighting. What do you mean tired of fighting? We've been born into conflict. Listen, friend, salvation is militant. True biblical salvation is militant. You remove the militant aspect from Christianity and you don't have anything.
Amen.
We're soldiers in the mountains. She took her a bedroll. Let me say that we must conclude tonight also that somebody brought her food and water while she was there. Because she was there at least 3 months. I'll tell you something. If you're going to be successful, and other preachers have all preached, Brother Bobby last night and Brother Edwards and Brother Martin, these preachers, if you notice how the importance they put on the church and us being in church And having our families brought up in the fear and the admonition, the nurture of God, and to be in submission, all those, I like that thing. I want to tell you something, friend. I'm not going to be able, and you're not going to be able to prevail and succeed without the help of others. We're going to need others in this thing, praise God. Hey, listen, God has given us the church, and I'm glad to be in the church. I'm glad for others, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then she took with her, no doubt, a real good hickory stick. She went knowing what she is going to do. Buzzards are coming. Possums are coming. And I'm going to knock the daylights out of every one of them I can. Till this is over. Amen. Now we want to consider, thirdly, her menace. This is very important to the message and may be the weight of the message. I'll spend a little more time here than the rest of it. So if I go a little long here, don't worry. The other points are not too bad, okay? Or not too long, I'll put it that way. One woman told preacher, said, it's not that you preach long. She said, it just seems long, amen? And I hope I don't seem long. But now, let's notice verse number 10. The Bible said, and Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon a rock, and from the beginning of until the beginning of harvest, until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither, number one, the birds of the air to rest on them by day. The birds of the air to rest on them by day. Now let me say that the birds of the air in the daytime represent sins of the flesh. Those things that anybody that's got a lick of sense knows bad. Sins of the flesh, friend, you know. I mean, when she's out there, Rizpah gets out there, next thing you know, just in a day or two, there they are. They're all up there flying around. Them old buzzards are. Wah, wah. She says, you come down here, but one of them gets brave and it flies down there and lands on one of those boys. And by the way, I believe she defended not only her own sons, but I believe she defended the other ones too.
Yes, sir.
You and I have personal victory in our life, it always affects someone else. It will always enhance the victory of someone else. It'll be for the betterment of others.
Amen.
She said, you're not sitting on any of them. I see her running over there, man. She takes that stick and she hits that old buzzard, and that thing's flying sideways, and there's feathers flying. Come back and I'll give you some more. Wasn't hard to see them, was it? Wasn't hard. Listen, it wasn't any problem to see them. It's daytime and they're big. Old big buzzards, man, I hate those things. You know what? We've got to be aware tonight. I heard about a man one time from West Virginia that moved out to California, and they arrested him for killing a condor. Y'all might have heard about that. You know, condors is the largest buzzard in the world. And the judge brought this man, and he said, don't you know that's against the law? He said, no, sir, I didn't know that. He said, I'm out here, and we're about to starve to death, and I was trying to feed my family. He said, you mean you fed that? You cooked that condor and ate it? Yes, sir, I sure did. Fed it to my family. He said, I might be able to let you be off this one time. I don't know. This is a serious thing, federal offense. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, what did that condor taste like? He said, a whole lot like spotted owl. I love the optimism of Appalachian Americans. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, let me say that we better keep preaching on sins of the flesh, folks.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, R.G. Lee, that great orator, he's a great preacher. R.G. Lee one time was preaching a great doctrinal sermon, and you know, I couldn't even do like him. I couldn't even imitate that guy, but he was a great preacher. And right in the middle of that sermon, he stopped and he said, I hate liquor!
Amen.
He went back and preached a sermon. Deacon came up to him after church, said, "That's a wonderful sermon. Thank you, Pastor. Enjoyed it so good. But I got to ask you something. Why in the middle of that sermon did you stop and scream, 'I hate liquor?'" He said, "I saw a man licking his lips, looked like he wanted to drink." I'll tell you what, we better keep preaching on drinking, on liquor, on wine. Amen.
Yes,
you better believe it, friend. Wine is mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. The drugs and the alcohol is destroying our land, destroying our young people.
Yes,
listen, friend, mark me down. I'm against it. Amen. I believe we ought to be total abstainers.
Amen.
Well, doctors put me on some beer, preacher, for my kidneys. Won't you try a couple gallons of spring water and see what that does for you?
Amen.
Drink that stuff. That stuff, hey, listen. Oh, I've got a stomach condition and I need some wine. I need a glass of wine with, and these people, they're so floosy-doosy, Dinah Wapping. Now, I know which kind of, what kind of wine you're supposed to have with what kind of meat. Let me tell you something, friend. I take iced tea. I know how to work about anything. Amen. But I heard about one of our great champions, one of our hero fundamental Baptist preachers, was arrested for drunk driving. What a reproach. Didn't mean for that to happen. Doctor put him on some wine for a condition. Got to drinking that wine. Next thing you know, hey, listen, arrested, bring a reproach to the name of Jesus. You don't know why? Because he wasn't swatting those vultures, bless God. Amen. I mean, just go ahead, clear you off a place every now and then and preach on liquor, bless God. Amen. I mean, it's wrong. I'm against all of it.
Amen.
You fix that hot toddies up, and you got to have that, you know, for your car. I know about people have that moonshine and that rock candy and all that in there. Yeah, I know about people like that. They keep a cold about all the time too. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I knew this Presbyterian preacher believed in that wine at the table. Yeah. I'm a legalist, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, call me anything you want to. I said, buddy, I can say something you can't say. I can say, if you never take the first drink, you'll never be a drunkard.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
I said, you can't say that. Amen.
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 Right. Amen. Amen.
That wine at the table. Well, are you kidding me? Boy, watch that stuff, folks.
Amen.
These drugs are destroying our country now.
Amen.
Hey, I think about another sin of the flesh. It was just devastating us, and that's immorality, adultery, fornication,
right.
Sodomy.
Sure.
All this stuff gone crazy. Our nation's gone crazy.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, you know, listen. All of us want to know the will of God for our lives, don't we?
Amen.
If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and if you look at verse number 3, let me show you and me the exact perfect will of God for our lives.
Amen.
Everybody turn over there in your Bible. Authorized 1611 King James Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. Ain't no use even turning to the NIV if you've got that. Just set on it. Amen. Praise God. By the way, the word fornication is not found in the NIV. I've read the NIV more than most people that believe in the NIV read it. Every verse of it. I've critiqued every verse of it. It's rotten.
Amen. Yes,
amen. Don't have fornication. You have immorality in the NIV.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say now? This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you ought. Abstain from fornication.
Amen.
Now, God used that word there because that is the broad term that includes any and all sexual sin. Everything's included in that. It is the will of God. We're living in a day right now where people think they can be in the will of God and live shacked up with somebody. They think they can be in the will of God and be a sodomite. By the way, that's the word I use because that's the word the Bible uses.
Amen.
Again, the word sodomite's not in the NIV because the head of the Old Testament department was a sodomite himself.
Right.
And they had a lesbian,
right,
as Brother Sammy says it, over the New Testament.
Amen.
You said, what is that? That's a woman that hates a man but wants to be a man. It's a pervert. It's without natural affection. What about Ephesians? What about Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3? What about that one? Talking about sins of the flesh. Boy, old buzzards, I mean, listen, folks, we've never been a time in our lives that we've got more buzzards flying around.
Yeah.
Our homes, our lives, our churches.
Amen.
Amen. These rotten internets and this Facebook stuff. You said I like Facebook. I don't know anything about it. I just know it's the biggest, world's biggest party line.
Yeah.
I had one man tell me all the time. They said this about you on Facebook. They said, I don't want to know what anybody said about me on Facebook. I'd rather not know. I want to love everybody. It's hard for me not want to bust somebody in the jaw when I hear this stuff. So I just don't want to know about it. What did he say in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 3? He said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be, what's that word?
Once
named among you as become saints. Well, this you know, no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I tell you, friend, listen, God help us to keep our purity.
Yeah.
Two things happened, the reason why I'm preaching this message tonight. Coming over here, two things happened. One thing happened, was a preacher called me that failed.
Come on. Tell this preacher.
He failed.
Amen.
Help failed bad.
Protect us, Lord. Amen.
He's ruined. Absolutely, totally ruined. Ministry's gone. Family's gone. Everything's gone. Wouldn't surprise me at all to hear he did what Brother Bobby said, that fellow died. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Think, no man take fire in his bosom and not be burned. By the way, the other thing, old Scorby was on the radio reading this passage. Those two things, that's why I'm preaching on this tonight. I feel like the Holy Ghost confirmed that's what I'm supposed to preach on tonight. The Bible didn't say for us to fight fornication. It said flee from fornication.
Amen.
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 Joseph.
Yes, brother.
Yes. Amen.
He ran.
Hit it.
Yes,
hit it.
Yes.
Potiphar's wife, that old hussy.
I
bet she'd had so many facelifts and her belly button was about under her chin, bless God.
Yeah.
Probably had on spandex when she come in there. Anything makes me about sick to my stomach, it's these elderly saints and women that want to act like little teenagers and look like Britney Spears. For God's sake, what's the matter with you? Ed Blue said, looked like a 300-pound pig and a 200-pound poke, amen? Here come Potiphar's wife to seduce Joseph. By the way, if he'd been bitter on God, he would have failed.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
He ran, got put in prison. Brother Charles, I'd like to have been there. I hope God videoed it. Because I'd like to have been there today that they brought old Joseph out of prison.
Yeah.
And they brought Asenath. Did I get it right? Well, I'm terrible on those names. I believe when I get to heaven, it's going to be people come to me and say, Brother Dewey, I love you, but I can't believe what you called me all these years. Wait a minute. Here's this beautiful virgin bride.
Yeah.
Joseph had to give in to that old hussy. He would have never got her.
That's right.
But he waited.
Yes.
Amen. And the door opened. And they said, "She's yours."
Amen.
I bet he said, "Have mercy." Shazam. Hey, listen to me, fellas. I'm telling you, listen. If you've got a problem with the computer, if you've got a problem with the television, if you've got a problem with DVDs, if you've got a problem, I'm telling you, by God's grace, let's go home, let's get those things and bust them up, let's knock the daylights out of them, get them out of our home, amen. Hey, don't listen, that thing will destroy you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, I pray to God one day when I finish my course, I pray to God I'd take my wife's hand and say, "You're my sweetheart. I've not had my hands on anybody else but you. I've not given my heart to anybody but you.
Amen.
I've not had eyes for anybody but you."
Amen.
Or think about a man saying, "My children won't even talk to me. Got 7 head of grandbabies. I got 7 head of grandyoungins." Hallelujah.
Amen.
"And another on the way."
Amen.
"And they call me Papa."
Amen.
Love it.
Amen.
That's good, brother.
I just prayed coming over here, "God, please let me die. If I do something, oh God, let me die. Let me die. Just kill me now if something like that had happened."
Amen.
Amen.
Little Judd, that little grand. See, I didn't have any sons, but I'm enjoying them grandsons.
Amen.
I'm raising me some red bones right now just for them. I got some red bone ham so good, their pedigree so high. If they could talk, they wouldn't speak to a person in this building. I'm telling you right now. You better believe it, son. I like them so good before you turn them out, you have to tape up one nostril. If you didn't, they'd get to running 2 raccoons and they separate, they pull themselves in half. That protects a real good dog. You tape up one nostril. Hey, could you imagine them little fellas saying, "My papa used to be a preacher"? Imagine that, Brother Charles. Used to be an old time fundamental Bible believing. Man, papa used to spit on everybody when he preached. Praise God.
Amen.
A lot of people hated his guts because of the stand he took.
Yeah.
Amen.
He used to be like that. That was over here somewhere shacked up.
God. Lord God. Lord help.
I'll tell you what. That's the buzzards we better be fighting.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Sins
yes,
of the flesh.
You're right. Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you, listen. Better be careful. We better be real careful at this day. Oh, yes. Sammy Allen says it's serious business.
Yes,
amen.
We need to get the seriousness back in it tonight.
Amen.
Hey, I'll tell you something else, praise God. I believe we ought to still fight tobacco, bless God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
That's popular in North Carolina, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
I run into one fella and he said, "Preacher, I smoke them, but they don't hurt me near a bit." I know one thing about got me, amen.
Go ahead.
Hey, we used to preach on everything, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. Praise God. In fact, I didn't know for 3 years that Independent Baptist preached on anything but sin.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
One woman come to that preacher, he preached on smoking being. She said, she come up to that pastor, she said, "Now, preacher," she said, "I agree with you." She said, "Smoking is a sin." She said, "Anything tastes this good, it's a sin to burn it up." Why in the world do we want to shorten our ministry and throw away all kinds of money we could be giving these good missionaries to do a work for God? Not just to make us smell bad and feel bad and all of that, amen. I mean, sins of the flesh, praise God. Let's just be, I mean, I don't care what, if it's cussing, if it's dirty jokes, if it's gambling, I'm against it all.
Amen. That's right.
I just believe in fighting everything.
Amen.
Amen. Can't even buy gas in a store. It takes 2 hours because those people in there scratching.
Yeah.
Amen. They roll their eyes and look. I'm not going to steal your scratch card, buddy. Boy, they light up. Give me two more. They spent $30 and they just won $2. And I mean, hey, you know what? You know what the lottery is? It's a tax on ignorant people. But wait a minute, I got to move on here. We not only have the vulture, let's go back to our text. We've been everywhere, haven't we? Amen. Praise God. If there's any doubt, old Brother Dewey, just say, I'd say he's against it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I used to be a Mason. I come out of it. I recommend everybody do.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I take water to just fight stuff like that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Help. Yeah. Go in there. Hey,
come on.
What are you doing here? I'm here in search of light.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
You gonna tell me tonight that you're a believer and you're saved by the grace of God, and you're gonna get light in a Masonic lodge, and you didn't get light from Jesus? There's something
Amen.
Bad wrong there.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Go ahead. Yes.
Amen. You said. You ain't never come. I know I've preached. I'm like, hey, one time gets me a lot of time.
Yeah.
Let me go on. What's the other menace? Not only the birds of the air by day, but also it's what? The creatures of the night. Now, we call those nocturnal animals. I know because I'm a night hunter.
Amen.
Now, when we think about an animal that comes out at night that eats dead stuff, it's nobody but Mr. Possum. The evolutionists say that either the kangaroo evolved from a possum or a possum evolved from a kangaroo. Now, if those people aren't nuts, you tell me what they are. Oh, Mr. Possum, an amazing little animal. The only warm-blooded animal I know of won't take rabies, parvo, or distemper. But it'll get fat on everything that dies with that stuff. He's a survivor. My old buddy Delmer up in the mountains said, "Preacher, if it hadn't been for possums after the Civil War, people in the South would have died." Now, what our forefathers used to do is catch possums. Now, they'd tree a possum and they'd shake it out of the tree. And you've heard of playing possum, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That possum plays possum. And then they'd take those possums home and put them in a cage and feed them about 3 weeks and get the carrion out of them.
That's right.
Carrion, you know, I'm going to try to say stuff proper. And once they got them cleaned out, they'd cook that possum with sweet potatoes. And they tell me they're real good if you can get past the grin. Amen. No possum sitting there in that pan grinning at you. It takes a little something to get past the grin. Now, think about this just for a minute. RISPA's been fighting buzzards all day. She's wore out. She's tired. She's going to rest a little bit. It's nighttime now. All of a sudden, she hears these little claws. Comes old Mr. Possum. Possum's going to come over there to that gallows, climb up that pole, go out that rope, climb down there. It's going to sit on that body, begin to eat the flesh of that body. And that possum's going to do exactly the same thing that vulture would have done. The problem is the vulture, the possum's a little hard. You got to be on your toes to detect the possum. By the way, if you ever get lost, if you can find a possum, follow that possum. He's headed to the nearest road. Amen. He'll get you out of the woods. Now, we got a new strain of possum over home. I don't know if y'all got it here in the Carolinas or not. It's called a Himalayan. Y'all heard of the Himalayan possum? Himalayan down there on the road, amen? Several possums. When you tree a possum when you coon hunt, it's like catching a carp when you go fishing. I hate to do that. Let me get back on the thought. Now, listen. What does the possum represent? The vulture represents sin of the flesh. It's easy to be seen, easy to detect. But the possums represent sins of the spirit. Now, listen, you can't neglect sins of the spirit, because the exact same thing will happen to you that would have happened if the buzzards was turned loose. They're just going to do it at night. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5 with me. I don't want to show you something here. I want you to notice in Galatians 5 that we have the works of the flesh that are manifest. Now, in the list, beginning in verse 19, you'll notice it says the works of the flesh, but some of these things are sins of the spirit that are given in the same text. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, those are sins of the flesh. Uncleanness and lasciviousness are sins of the spirit. Uncleanness is to have a dirty mind. Make something dirty. It's like the late night, Letterman and people like that. Some people turn everything into something dirty.
Yeah.
Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled.
Amen.
You see, by the way, that preacher that fell and has destroyed his life and has ruined himself, hey, listen, it didn't start with adultery. It started probably with porno. It started with a thought life. It started with not a guard in his mind and meditating in the Word of God. Hey, listen, we're to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Casting down imaginations.
Come on.
Yes. Oh, God, help us tonight that our minds and our hearts should be pure. Well, don't you wish David, when he looked over and saw that old gal pull her clothes off and start to take a bath, don't you wish David would have run, said, "Oh God, forgive me for looking at that. Forgive me, God." Called the servants and said, "I want you to go over there and get that woman, and I want you to put her in jail. Out here doing that on the housetop. Listen, make no provision for the flesh."
Amen.
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 Sins of the spirit. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Well, we better watch the occult. My watch surely ain't right. I'm going to tell you something God showed me. I believe I'm right on this. I believe pornography is an addiction for men, and I believe witchcraft is addicted to women.
Amen.
Y'all showed me that.
Preacher.
Some of you pastors have dealt with witchcraft. you've dealt with women in witchcraft, it's real hard to see them delivered from it. By the way, there's a lot more witches than there are warlocks. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't dabble in that stuff. Not in Wicca, not in tarot cards. Don't watch Harry Potter. Don't watch these hard rock music. Hey, these serial killers, these guys like at Virginia Tech and Columbine, all of them's into rock music. All of them are into violent video games. What we've done today, my friend, we've made a provision for the flesh. We've made all this look so good today and so glorious today. And you know what? Nobody, listen, there's nobody fighting the buzzards and the possums. We better start. Jealousy, envy, covetousness, materialism. Those are not sins of the flesh, they're sins of the spirit. Am I right? Prejudice, hatred, malice, sins of the spirit. David sinned the sin of the flesh, and four people died. When he numbered the children of Israel, how many died? 70,000. I can never remember. God bless you, preacher. I know it's a bunch. Is that not a lesson of how God looks at sin?
Yes.
Our free will friends, our fall from grace friends that preach, you can lose your salvation. You ever hear one preach you lose your salvation from jealousy? It's always getting drunk. Envy, covetousness. You'll never hear that. And I want to tell you something. God, listen, I'm telling you, let's get this in our minds tonight, folks. The vultures or the buzzards or the possum will do the exact same thing. Well, we got to be real careful about the spirit we've got.
Yes.
Critical spirit.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh.
Right.
Yes, sir.
All of us pastors deal with that all the time, don't we?
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, just... Preacher thinks he's going to tell me how I'm going to live. God bless you, preacher. Thank you for the good sermon. Get in the car. We'll be back tonight. Get in there. And they don't have beef or chicken or hot dogs for dinner. They have Brother Dewey for dinner.
Go ahead. Amen.
And then that boy ends up in jail, and they call the preacher, go down there and see my boy and everything. He's down there in jail. You know what? I don't have any chance of helping that boy.
Right.
They've already learned that.
Right.
So they didn't guard their spirit.
Good.
Let me close the message tonight with just some real quick points, and we'll close. Her menace. We've looked at her mandate. We've looked at her materials. We've looked at her menace. Oh, man, I wish I'd... You care if I preach just an hour on liberalism? Huh? Amen.
Amen.
By the way, let's guard this stuff in our churches. Let's don't let it come in. Amen. Let's don't let it come in.
Amen.
Churches now got dance teams. There'll be a big snowstorm in a hot place when there's a dance team comes in Belmettis Baptist Church. As long as old Brother Dewey, hillbilly Brother Dewey's there, it ain't coming.
Amen.
Amen.
Bunch of old sensual stuff today. Everything now, we want to entertain, don't we?
Yeah.
So watch that. Well, we've got to watch these things the way it starts. You see them start moving. You see them keep going. You see him keep going. You see him keep going.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's Rick Warren, purpose-driven. What's happened? Let me tell you what happened.
Come on.
The vultures and the possums have done defiled and desecrated the bodies.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, I think we ought to go back to just being old-timey, fundamental, Bible-believing, praise God. I remember 1982, I started the Independent Baptist Church, come out of Methodism. I put on that sign, fundamental, independent, premillennial, missionary. Somebody said, what's that mean? I said, I don't know what it means, but that's what we are.
Amen.
And I know that's what it, hardly anybody else is, bless God. That's what we are. But let's look at just for a minute her motive. What motivated Rispa to do this? Two things I want you to jot down. Love motivated her. The greatest motivator in the world is love. But also, conviction motivated her. Both of those together. Love and truth. Amen. She loved those boys. She gave them kind of names. You could tell she loved them. This woman didn't have anything. She's an outcast of society. Somebody people used. God gave her these boys. And she loved those boys. Oh, I wish God would just give us a new love for our homes and for our wives and for our people in our churches. Man, we need a love for the church. We just need a new love. We need a love. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge if one man died for all, then we're all dead. And he died for them that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Man, we need to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody went up there and said, Rispa, how's it going? It's okay. Don't you know, isn't it hard? I don't know. I don't think about that. I just think about the buzzards are not getting my voice. Conviction. You know, the law said, curses a man hanging on a tree. I can't help this has happened. But I can take what I can help, I'm going to have a part in.
That's right.
And then let's think about her method. I'm about through. Don't get nervous. Her method was strange. We're peculiar people, folks. 2020 run a thing on Independent Baptist, we're a cult and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. You know what I had to do to go to bed after, I didn't see it, but I heard about it. And you know what I had to do to go to bed that night? I had to split a baby aspirin in 28 pieces and take a 28th of a baby aspirin to go to sleep.
Amen.
I don't want the sodomites of ABC to think well of us. I'm glad we're a threat.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I wish she's a bigger threat.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Strange, isn't it? It's old time.
Amen.
I like it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Her method was simple. Wasn't complicated. Real simple. Her method was steadfast. Let me close. Let's look at her miracle. Now the Bible said David heard about it. I'll use some supposition, you know. We'll just suppose a minute. David says, get the royal chariot ready. I want to go out, man. Big leather chair, leather seats, and air conditioning, everything in that chariot. Gold wheels. I mean, it's a king's chariot. Big old hybrid stallions out there pulling that chariot. He's going around looking at the kingdom. They come by Gilboa there, that hill, and David said, that's where we hung the seven sons of Saul when we was in that drought, wasn't it? He said, yes, sir, king. He gets to looking, and he said, man, I see something moving up there. He said, yeah, hadn't you heard? Heard what? That's Rispa. You remember her? David said, oh, yeah, I remember Rispa, Saul's concubine. What about it? What's she doing up there? Well, two of those boys were her. Well, what's she doing up there? I don't know, sire. All I know is she said she wasn't going to let the buzzard set on her boys.
Amen.
And eat their flesh. She wasn't going to let the creatures of the night feast on her son. She's been up there, king, and snow, rain and cold nights and hot sun. She's been up there. Folks have carried her some stuff to eat and drink. She'd died if they hadn't. It's been about 4 months, 3 or 4 months. He gets mad and he says, you get some men, you go up there, and you cut those bodies down. I want them buried with Saul and Jonathan. And you get that woman off that hill, get her home, get her a hot meal. You get her off that hill. She's been up there long enough. This is going to stop now. Won't be long, our king's fixing to come through.
Amen.
He's going to come through. When he does, please God, please Jesus. Oh, I beg you, Lord, let me be swinging that old stick when he comes. Let me be hitting them buzzards.
Amen.
Old possums.
Yeah.
Knocking the daylights out of them. That stick, hey, that's the word of God. That word of God ain't going to break. Don't worry about that. Swing it hard as you want to, brother. It won't break.
Amen.
Word of God, hey, that sword of the Spirit is quick. It's sharp. There's an any two-edged sword. You don't have to worry about the stick God's given us. It'll hold up.
Amen.
Preacher, it's battle-tested.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear, preacher, well done? Wouldn't it be wonderful, sister, to hear you've been faithful over a few things? I'll make you ruler over many. Say, I'm pleased. Well, I want to please my mom, and I want to please my wife, and I want to please people. But I want to please Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads tonight. These days are unique days, but they're days of tremendous opportunity as maybe the church has never seen. But we'll have to take care of those elements that seek to defile and decay us and destroy us. Maybe tonight God has spoken to your heart. You would come to renew your fight. Your fight for God. Your fight for personal holiness. Your fight for your home. Your fight for your children. Oh, it blessed me to hear this preacher telling his children to serve God. I want my children to serve God. I want them to raise those grandchildren for God. I'm going to turn the invitation over to the good pastor. It'll be a blessing, I think, tonight. If many of us would come and gather around this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to spread me a cloth. I'm going to pick up that stick. And I'm going to get back to doing what you've called me to do. Being aware of those elements that would desecrate and destroy us. Maybe there's something might be in your heart tonight. The Holy Ghost laid his finger on it. Let's deal with that tonight. This meeting could be a turning point. It could be an absolute turning point in your life and in your ministry. God would speak to our hearts. Father, bless the invitation. Bless the pastor as he comes now. Take the invitation. We'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.